Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. We thank God for you tuning in with us, amen, on this radio broadcast. This is Best Talk Bible, the Kingdom Builder Radio broadcast, and we thank God for you. I am Dr. Ulysses Morgan Jr., and I'm here with you today, glory to God, to bring a message to you from the Word of the Lord, amen, this Christmas season. We thank God for you tuning in, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes to bring you the Word of the Lord, amen. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Bless you. I thank God for you tuning in with us on today, and we give God the glory for all that He is doing in our lives. This is the Christmas holiday seasons of 2015. Yes, another Christmas has crept upon us, and it is here. Glory to God. Whether you are prepared for it or not, it is here, and we just give God the glory, and it's not such a burden because we are celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Regardless of what others may call it or what others may do during this season, glory to God, I believe that the real Christians of God are actually celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, he wasn't born December 25th. Well, I don't know exactly when he was born, but one thing I do know, as we all have heard, he was born. And this is the day we chose to celebrate him, our Savior, and to give thanks to a man who died for our sins on the cross. And this is what we understand coming from the Hebrew Bible, translated down to the Roman church, and then the Greek church, I'm sorry, and then to the Romans church, and then King James translated it. And so this is where we get it from. It doesn't come from actual man per se, but it comes from the writing of the apostles and the prophets as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we thank God and hope that you are in that holiday season spirit today. And I have a word today from you. And I know, amen, what we talked about on last week, but we want to share this with you while the season is upon us, because this will be the last broadcast that we'll do before Christmas. And I want to share something with you from the Word of God that I had been actually meditating upon, and we talked about this in our Bible class the other night, and it was so dramatic and so powerful, and there are times when you just have to think about things. We've read over this several times, and God is yet bringing revelations back to us, and he's bringing it back for his people. So I want you to prepare yourself, because he's going to give you a word. Those of you who may be driving in your car, you may be on your phone, you may be on the computer, you may be in your living room, your dining room, somewhere in your house, somewhere, you know, in a neighbor's house or a friend's or a relative's house. It doesn't matter where you're at. It could be even on the job. But yet and still, wherever you are, God has a word for you. Amen. And I dare say you're listening to me on the radio and on the internet, glory to God, or radio, however you want to, however you are listening to me. And a lot of times we hear the word of God and we think that the person that's talking doesn't know us, doesn't know what I'm going through, and doesn't know exactly what I need to hear. My spirit is troubled. My mind is perplexed. Amen. I'm worried about something. I'm oppressed. But I want you to know, even though I don't know who you are, even though I don't know where you are, amen, God knows. God knows exactly who you are, what you need. God knows what you've been praying for. And sometimes we don't even pray. God still knows. Amen. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. Amen. And omnipresent. He knows all things. And he knows your need right now, whatever it may be it spiritual, physical, or financial. He knows what you're going through. And it's time now, amen, for us to take this this thing serious. It's time for us to take Christ serious. A lot of people are playing with Christ, and we want more. We want more from the giver than we do the giver. Amen. And I don't look at Jesus as a spiritual Santa Claus. I look at him as a savior of my soul, and I look at him and the Father and the Holy Spirit as someone, amen, who can bless me and cause me to have an abundant life in this earth if I do and obey what they say. And there are many times we've made mistakes. We've made mistakes. We've said things and done things that we shouldn't have done. And we think it's all over, amen. But it's not all over. It's not all over. All you have to do is to let God know your heart, amen. Let God know your heart. God spoke to Samuel and spoke to him when he was to anoint David. And when he went before Jesse's sons, Samuel the prophet, who was close to God, thought one of Jesse's other sons were the one that he was going to anoint king, that God was going to tell him to anoint to be king over his people. But he made a profound statement that I want to make to you today, and that's this. He told Samuel, he said, man looks on the outward appearance. He said, but God looks at the heart. And what that actually indicates to me is a lot of times we judge people according to the way they look, the way they dress, how they talk, their speech, their education, how they personify themselves, and we determine their character and determine their spirit by what we see naturally. And God is saying to us, we cannot look at what we see naturally. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we can't judge people. We can't judge people according to what we see with our natural eye there. And we need to look at that on both ends. There are people who may not have nothing. There are people who may not be popular, but they may be the people who have the answer to your prayer in their hands. They may be the one whom God has sent to you. Amen. Place you in their presence, or place them in your presence for a reason. And because they don't look like they're blessed and look like they are used by God, can be used by God, or look like they have your answer, a lot of times we reject them. We reject the very person, amen, that God has sent for us. My wife was talking the other day, and I was about the man who was drowning, and he was praying to God to save him because he had believed in God so strongly, and his faith was there, and he was drowning, and he said, God, please save me from drowning. And while he was fighting the water, a boat came close by that he saw, and the people asked him, say, you want me to help you? He said, no, y'all go on, because God's going to save me. And they went on, and that happened two more times. And he told them to go on because he believed God was going to help him. And I guess he was thinking that God was either going to teach him how to swim or cause him to walk on the water. And if I got the story right, the man drowned and went to heaven and talked to God, and he said, God, I believe, I trusted you to come and save me from drowning. Glory to God, and I waited for you, and God told him, say, I sent three boats by there to pick you up, but you did not get on either one of them. See, so therefore, we can't determine how God's going to move in our life. God's going to move in a way that you think not, and you have to learn how to accept. You can't look at people wearing robes and crosses and collars and carrying Bibles and notepads, and you can't even look at them if they're in the pulpit to determine if they are anointed and sent by God. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And these are the people a lot of times we flock to and still end up getting disappointed. So you have to deal with this thing from a perspective. Now, this brought me to the message that I'm going to be talking to you about. Glory to God, and that's going to be coming from the book of Luke, the first chapter. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about his birth. We're going to talk about what he did. We're going to talk about how he operated. Amen. And I'm going to read the second chapter, first verse, and I'm going to take a little time and read this, glory to God, and show you exactly what I'm trying to say to you today. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made by Cyrenius when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, okay, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, one of the things that I want you to share with you is that Joseph had not married Mary yet, and yet Mary is pregnant. Glory to God. Mary is pregnant. And then so Jesus being born to Mary caused Joseph to be not his biological son. So he married a woman who had a child that wasn't his biological son. And many of us frown on that today. We frown on women who have children out of wedlock. And they need your help. They need your love. They need to understand. And a lot of times we frown upon them, but what have you done to teach them? What have you done to talk to them? Amen. Glory to God. They need you. They need the wisdom that you have, and they need the love. But let's read on a little bit further. It says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, okay, because there was no room for him in the inn, okay. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of God shined round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day. Listen to this now. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, we often look at Jesus as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We often look at him as being a man of prosperity, a man that can bless. We often look at him as being someone great, but we find out that the Father, the God Almighty, allowed his son, first of all, to come into a virgin woman, but yet when it was time to give birth, he wasn't born in the Ritz-Carlton. He wasn't born in the Hilton. He wasn't born in the Hyatt Regency. He was born in a barn. So people who have been taught erroneously in that day, or even those who are high-minded and high-class, would not have accepted Jesus as this baby, as Jesus, because they felt like if he was going to be a savior and his name was going to be Christ the Lord, that he would have come and been born in something immaculate. But the father allowed his son to be born in a barn, because there are times when God will come to the lowest state just to see where your heart is. Amen. Just to see where your heart is. The Bible says, if I can skip a little bit, the Bible says when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to the tomb, amen, and they found the stone rolled away and Jesus was not there, amen, the angel told them what to do. They were on their way back, and they met a man in the tomb, and when they saw him, they took him to be the gardener. They took him to be the keeper of the cemetery, because when Jesus arose, when he came back, amen, he didn't come glowing with glory all over him. He didn't come with a halo on his head, because anybody will accept a God like this, but God don't want you to accept people because of their immaculance or because of what they have or how they present themselves. Amen. A person who loves and have the real love in their heart will love regardless of what it is. He came looking like an ordinary man. And they were about to pass him by because they did not recognize him. The Bible says that there were a man that went down, amen, and thieves fell upon him and stripped him and beat him and left him for dead. And the Levite, who was supposed to be a priest, a man of God came by and saw him and crossed on the other side and passed by him and didn't help him. Then it says a priest came by there and he saw him and passed on the other side and didn't help him either. Now, these two were supposed to be Christians. They were supposed to be men of God. They were supposed to have the love of God in their heart. Yet they saw this man who was not a Jew. He had been beaten up. Everything was taken from him. And instead of helping him, they passed by and left him for dead. And the Bible said there was a Samaritan that came by who didn't even supposed to recognize Jesus or God. But yet he saw the man bleeding. He saw the man beat up. Amen. And suffering. And the Bible said he got him, took him to a hotel, and told the keeper to dress his wounds and lodge him until he is better. And when he is better, when I come back through here, I'll pay you for the days that he is lodged here. And this was a man that the priests and the Levites would turn their nose up against because they weren't supposed to have any dealings with the Jews. If you would recognize Jesus when he was on this earth, he had more of an acceptance from people who were not part of the church. So that tells me what's wrong with the church. Even today, you can go in a church as a sinner, and there are people who are still prejudiced. They're still bigoted. They're still, amen, got this attitude of you have to be a certain caliber to come to this church. You just can't come. And let me tell you something. Feeding them on Thanksgiving don't mean a thing. Because we think if we feed them on Thanksgiving and we give them something on Christmas, we've done a good deed, amen, and God's going to smile down on us. No, that's outward appearances. God looks on the heart. This has to be taught. This has to be said in the churches. Amen. You can't preach and still want people to cling to you. You can't preach for money. You can't preach. You have to. God's anointed will preach the truth, and this is what we have to understand. Glory to God. The Bible said that Jesus was born in a barn. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. They didn't wrap him in linen. They didn't wrap him in purple and scarlet. They didn't put baby powder on him. Amen. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which was something, amen, that shepherd people would wear, something that the keeper of the flock would wear. It's not anything that you would think that a precious Savior would wear. Glory to God. And then you had those who were in the church who was of a prestige nature, who probably would say, this can't be the Jesus. This can't be the Christ that's coming. But God comes in an ordinary way. Now here's the key. And I was thinking on this because the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and it's going to sound fictitious if I can use that terminology, but I want you to really think about it. During the course of your life, those of you that are listening to me, during the course of your life, think about the people that you only met one time, whether you were on vacation, whether you were at the church, whether you were at Walmart, wherever you were. Think about the people you only met one time. Amen. Think about the people who have been nice to you and gave you something, and you only met them one time. Glory to God. Think about the people you may have turned your nose up to. Think about the people that you ignored. Think about the people that you said wrong things to. You don't know if that was an angel or not. It could have been an angel sent from God down here, disguised as a human being that didn't have anything, and instead of you looking on that person with love because they were not as you were or not as you would rather associate with, amen, you turned your nose up, and a lot of times, amen, God has tested you in that area. Now, we wonder why things are not happening for you as like they should. You're wondering why the blessings are not falling down. You wonder why a lot of times people are not catering to you. You wonder why you don't have favor with a lot of people. You wonder why when you had money, you had folks, but when you got broke, you had none. You wonder why all these things. You got to think back, because things just don't happen to you for nothing. There's always a reason behind whatever situation that you are in. You have to understand that. Here is my Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not only was he born in the barn, but his cradle was not made of gold. His cradle was not made of ivory. He did not lay on satin sheets. He did not lay on a pillowcase that was full of lace. Amen. The Bible said he was laid in a manger, and the manger was a feeding trough for the animals. And because Jesus laid in the manger, he took something that was to feed animals in and caused it to be a very prominent item in today's society when it comes to worshiping Christ, a manger. Glory to God. And so when we said manger, the first thing we think of something precious that Jesus was born in. But in actuality, amen, from history, it says that that manger was something that you put animals' food in, amen, and they ate out of it. But the animals gave up their trough so that Jesus could be born. The animals did not complain about them coming into their house So the Savior could be born. Glory to God. And it is reported that even the animals didn't even have a soul, but they didn't even complain about it. Glory to God. But man did. They didn't let Mary come into the inn because there was no room. Now, you can't tell me there was no room. If you could have just laid her on the floor somewhere, it would have been better than where she was. But the drafty, cold barn, smelly, it was smelly in there. It smelled like animals. But yet and still, Jesus was born in it. Who would have accepted that? Who would have came there? Who attended the birth of Jesus? We see the wise men came around there, but the wise men came after he was born. Who was there to help Mary birth that baby? Who was there amen, when she was in labor? Who was there when she was in pain? Everybody knew she was pregnant. They knew her time was here. Who was there? And yet we turn our nose up a lot of times at the wrong thing, and then we go to church and lift our hands and sing Zion songs, hallelujah, Lord, I love you, thank you, Jesus, amen. And then we leave right out of there, right out of the church, and still turn our nose up and hate people because of the color of their skin. We hate people because they're not rich. We hate them because they're not in the upper echelons as you are. You don't want to associate with them. Glory to God. I want to say something before this broadcast is over. I was looking on the internet, and I was looking at a gentleman who swindled people out of their money. And these were people who didn't want to associate with low-class people, and now they've lost everything. Okay, now this 90% of them, now they lost everything. And now they're back down at a level with the people who they didn't want to associate with. Glory to God. God knows how to turn the tables. God knows how to turn it. He knows how to cause every man, myself included, he knows how to cause us to reap what we have sown. This holiday season, don't turn your nose down on everybody, and don't just love them and bless them because it's the season for it. Amen. When Christmas is over, amen, January is the season. February is the season. March, April, May, June, July, August is the season for loving and for giving, for blessing people. Just as you want God to bless you, think about how many people God wants you to bless. We want it, but we don't want to give it. Amen. And then when we give it at a certain time instead, because if it's in your heart, if God looks on the heart, if it's in your heart, it's not, Christmas is not just your giving season. Glory to God. If it's in your heart, amen, you still don't have to just celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas. Let somebody see Jesus in you all year round. Let them see the birth of Christ in you all year round. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Let them see the birth of Jesus inside of you. Glory to God. How quickly we forget. It is so sad that I see people we're praising God and giving him the glory. And the only time we want to come together, all races and creeds and colors, and we want to come together in one place and have prayer is when disaster happens. When 9/11 happened, all the churches, black, white, whatever, want to come together and pray. After 9/11, they split up, go right back to their churches, and nobody sees and nobody calls prayer anymore. When the hurricane came, everybody wants to come together now and come into one place and pray. Amen. Holy Week, we want to come together with everybody in one church and visit the other one and pray. When Holy Week is over, what happens? It should be Holy Week every week. Glory to God. And so, say this, I don't actually come together. I don't do a lot of things because I don't appreciate the insulting of my intelligence. I don't appreciate playing with God. Amen. If we can come together and pray on Holy Week, we can come together and pray when it ain't Holy Week. So be careful. My time is getting ready to leave me. Amen. And we just thank God for this word. And I'm not finished, but I got to close because it's just about over. Amen. But right in your box 492 in Coyle, Georgia. And until our next broadcast, tune in, and we'll try to finish this if we can for Lord's will. God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Thank you.
You're looking at it on your phone.